you and I will walk into a store and buy a nosh, a snack. Most of us will not even bother to look at the nutritional information printed on the back of the packaging. Even fewer of us will glance at the list of ingredients. We will take for granted that the product sweetly satisfies our cravings and think nothing of the effort it took to create the taste, or even more so, to certify it. And yet, the process of taste creation is extremely murky and the process of certification extremely complex. The flavor industry has grown from rather humble origins in the mid-18th century to a $1.5 billion industry, which turns out 10,000 new flavors a year. 9,000 of them will most probably fail. The vast number is the result of the contemporary market pressures, that is, the continuous need of flavor companies to satisfy the taste palates of increasingly savvy consumers. Today's spicy tomato pales against the extra spicy sauce of one's competitor, and a new extra, extra spicy taste must be devised if a company is to retain brand space. All these ingredients, flavors, require certification, as do the ingredients of which those ingredients are composed of. Therefore, while certifying agencies work strenuously to ascertain how each and every ingredient is used in each of their facilities under their supervision, mashgichim, field representatives, and rabbinic coordinators remain acutely aware of the enormity of the undertaking. The inventory of a single flavor house may consist of several thousand ingredients scattered throughout the facility in a lab, a storage freezer, a small jar, or medium-sized drum, or even an industrial-sized tanker. One OU-certified company lists 2,860 ingredients in the OU database. The high stakes, mass quantities of money invested in the creation and storage of flavors has resulted in a notoriously secretive industry. Newly developed flavors formulas are zealously guarded and consumers deliberately kept in the dark as much as possible. Therefore, even if one were to take the time to look at the packaging, he would find in all likelihood a rather short list of ingredients with sugar and or hydrogenated oil, which would be no surprise, followed by a smattering of chemical names and artificial dyes for colors, and rounded off with the vague and unsatisfying with other natural flavors, industry shorthand for WAMF. This broad final phrase conceals much beneath its deceptive simplicity. Surprisingly, and perhaps dismaying, this is currently sufficient to satisfy federal regulators. The Food and Drug Administration does not require companies to disclose colors or flavor additives so long as the subcomponents are GRAS, generally recognized as safe. And in the Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act of 2005, the most recent attempt to codify the claims of food manufacturers, natural flavors are defined as the essential which a flavoring derived from a plant material, meat, seafood, poultry, eggs, dairy products, or fermentation, whose significant function in food is flavoring. In non-mangled English, this simply means that natural flavors are extracts from synthetic foods. It does not mean that the flavor is derived from the source most commonly associated with it in nature. The natural coffee flavor that gives a carton of coffee yogurt its taste, for instance, is not necessarily made from coffee beans and is not required to be, so long as the compounds that went into the flavor's composition were drawn from nature and were not produced in a laboratory. The consumer is not the only one whose flavor knowledge is vague. The manufacturer himself, though he is of course privy to the ingredients used, has only the haziest idea of the flavor's chemical and natural compounds. A strawberry flavor, used in a candy, for example, may be made from strawberry concentrate or strawberry extract, both derived from natural sources. But the flavor could just as easily be an artificial concoction of amyl butyrate, butyric acid, ethyl cinnamate, ethyl propionate, and several other chemicals. The job of the certifying agency is to review the formula and production procedures for each flavor to ensure that kosher standards are observed. To that end, the ingredients are divided into three categories: natural, non-kosher, and in-between. The natural category includes tea, cocoa powder, honey, lemon oil, or other inherently kosher materials, as well as chemicals derived from entirely from natural sources. Non-kosher ingredients, of course, are forbidden and will immediately invalidate a formula. Examples of such are castoreum from beavers, a glandular secretion, or civet, a musky odor secreted by certain cats and prized for use in the perfumery industry. All remaining ingredients fall somewhere in between and require the greatest oversight, as the mashgiach, or field representative and certifier, must investigate both process and source. Alcohol, for example, may be produced naturally from grain and wine, or synthetically from petroleum. Butyric acid may be parv, or derived from butter, and therefore dairy. An examination of the creation of reaction flavors, a particular subgroup of the flavor production, illustrates some of the intricacies involved in certification. To produce a reaction flavor, a particular ingredient is subject to intense heat and pressure over time, causing it to rearrange itself chemically into an entirely new product. This process obviously requires extremely close supervision. Unless the flavor company has dedicated equipment solely for kosher production, it will need to kosher the existing machinery, submitting it all to a thorough cleaning, followed by a 24-hour downtime, and an immersion in boiling water, 212 degrees, or other halachic kosherization procedures as necessary. Further, the ingredients most frequently used to produce reaction flavors are those of particular kosher seriousness. Reaction flavors, which strive to create tangy, smoky tastes, are often derived from meat or chicken fat, amino acids, which may be even from pig, or enzymes. Today, however, it is possible for all the above to be certified as kosher: kosher chicken fat, amino acids from human hair, synthetic lipase. Yet, the very fact that in cases noted above, an identical ingredient may be purchased from both a kosher and a non-kosher source, the vexing compatibility question is a cause of great concern, as it remains nearly impossible to tell the kosher from the non-kosher once the ingredient has been introduced into a flavor plant. Certifying agencies insist on the physical segregation of the non-kosher ingredient. In addition, the plant mashgiach is required to sign each batch of finished flavor across the top to indicate that he has personally noted the use of the kosher version of the ingredient. Today, with the use of computers, the concern of confusion has been somewhat eased, as most certifying agencies have centralized their list of approved ingredients in databases with multiple entry points for reference and cross-checking. Each ingredient in a plant is assigned a special raw material code, RMC. The RMC is unique to that particular plant, enabling all involved to speak of an ingredient with precision. With easy access to the system, mashgichim, field representatives, can immediately ascertain whether an ingredient that was introduced has been approved. The halacha recognizes the power of flavors. Generally speaking, a non-kosher ingredient whose relationship to the entire mixture is less than 1/60th, the total is deemed null and the mixture remains kosher, batel b'shishim. Flavors, however, fall under the halacha of avida l'taima, that is to say, their purpose is to enhance taste. This makes the flavor halachically potent, integral to the mixture, and therefore the minutest amount of non-kosher flavoring invalidates the finished product. Yet, another reminder, if one were needed, of the gravity of the work done daily by kosher certifiers that oversee the flavor industry. Something to think about as you finish your store-bought snack. Thank you for listening.